Let me read a verse of Scripture to you. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2. By this gospel you are saved, if you keep in mind what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now this morning I would like to preach a message that calls on each of us to ask ourselves the most important question of all. As we go through life, we must ask some very serious questions. For example, what career path shall I follow? Whom shall I marry, if I marry at all? What church shall I attend? Should I buy this house or that one, or maybe none at all? Yet it seems that very few are asking the most important question of all. And that question is simply, have I ever been saved? Now, some do not ask themselves that question because they have no understanding that they need salvation. In fact, I would say that the majority of people fall into this category. They may believe they need some help. They may believe that they can't quite get the job done, but in the end, God will be able to overlook their small failures and allow them into His presence. So they don't think that they need such a thing as salvation. And some do not ask this question because they simply assume that indeed they have been saved. They were born into the church, raised in the church, trained by the church, and accepted by the church. So they never even question whether they have been saved. They have been through whatever program it was that their church assigned for people growing up in the church. And having successfully completed that program, they have simply assumed that they are among God's people, among the redeemed and the saved. But the Scriptures teach us that there are many who shall be surprised on Judgment Day. And note the word many. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name do many wonderful works? And you know, the Lord never denied any of that truth about them. Yet he says to them, depart from me, depart from me. They didn't expect to hear those words. They thought all was well. And in the end, it was proven they were deceived. You know, I don't want to find out too late that I was never saved. Furthermore, concerning those who were assured to be among God's people, it is written that only a remnant is truly saved. Now, if that principle is true of Israel, it's no stretch to believe that it is also true of the visible church in our day. Of all those people who claim to be saved, only a remnant shall truly be among God's redeemed. Now, I hope this message does two things. I hope that it wakes up, sobers up, even alarms those who live in the complacent belief that all is well. For after all, they were born in the church of Christ, of Christian parents, baptized in infancy, trained, and made zealous for the truth. I want to bring some comfort to fearful believers, or even some encouragement to sinners who are hesitant to lay hold of God's promises in Christ. You see, there is a God-dishonoring, soul-damning doctrine that pops up here and there. It's been found in all denominations from time to time. It is the teaching that to be confident of one's salvation is presumption, that it is only proper humility to always be in doubt with regard to one's salvation. When I have asked people whether they are saved, I have sometimes heard the response, well, I hope to be saved, and they think that is such a humble attitude. But actually, it's a great insult against God. It insults the clarity of God's promises. Is God unclear? Do we read a gospel in the Scriptures that's difficult to understand in all its complexity? God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He said, he that hath the Son hath life. Now, these things are rather simple, aren't they? But there are preachers, and some well-meaning preachers, who clutter up the gospel. Some of them, they're not well-meaning at all. They clutter it up and make it like a maze, difficult to find one's way through it. And the reason they make it like that is if they make it into a maze, they can brag that they were able to crack the maze. They were able to figure it out and get through. And then they can say, but you probably haven't made it through. And they can hold you in bondage, keep you ever fearful that in the end, you will have not gotten through the maze. There is no maze to the gospel. Or we might say the only maze part of grace is that it is amazing. Amazing grace. And it's amazing in its simplicity. Is God insincere in his promises? To say that you can believe the gospel, and yet that only gives you the right to sort of hope against hope that in the end you will be saved. Well, that casts a doubt on God's sincerity. And yet the Bible tells us that God swore an oath precisely so that we might be assured of the certainty of his promise. God is clear. He is sincere. And even if we fumble up the way we call upon his name, yet he reads the heart and knows what we want and grants it according to his grace. Now, before we can ask whether we have been saved, we must clarify what we mean by saved. There is an eternal aspect of salvation because God is eternal and Christ's sacrifice is eternal. And there is a sense in which salvation is an ongoing process that will not be perfected until the day of Christ. The Bible says we are being saved. But that which was purposed in eternity and that which will not be perfected until the end, that must be brought to pass in time. It must have a beginning in time. And that's what I'm speaking of. I'm talking about when God comes to a man or a woman or a child, the age is insignificant, but he gives them spiritual life, imparts to them the gift of faith, and they believe the gospel. Now that's what I mean. Have you been saved? Have you ever had that experience in your life? Well, there are three questions, and if you can answer yes to these questions, then you can say with confidence that you have been saved. And you need not live in doubt. And let no one hold you in doubt if you know these things to be true of yourself. First of all, do I believe that I am someone who needs to be saved? Now, that's a good question to ask. Not everybody believes they need to be saved. Are you convinced that you need saving? Well, maybe you're thinking, saved from what? Well, our Lord Jesus, when he was coming into the world, the angel told his parents to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, here's a crucial point. There are many who think they have a particular sin from which they need to be saved. And they think if they can get a victory over that sin, that is salvation. That's not at all what salvation is. If you're an alcoholic, I hope that you get sober. It'll make your life better. But overcoming alcohol addiction is not salvation. And there are some who have been saved who still struggle with it. That's not the issue. You see, the Bible teaches us that everything we do is sin. And that sin is beyond our ability to overcome. We can't do anything about it. Jesus Christ was sent to save his people from their sins, all of them. The sins in their transgressions against God, their sin, that's their nature that's within them. God's salvation extends to all of that. So we might ask the question this way, do I believe that I am a sinner and unless someone saves me, God will punish me forever because of my sin? Now, not everyone thinks they're bad enough to need saving. Almost everyone will admit they've sinned, but very few people will believe that they have sinned enough to deserve everlasting punishment. How much sin does it take to become subject to eternal punishment? Only one. And you and I have millions of sins. Not only that, we have a nature which is nothing but sin. So I ask you this question. Have you ever been brought to the realization that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? That you are beyond your own help? That you are guilty before God? And if He sends you to hell, you'd be getting what you deserve. Second question. Have you ever understood God's way of salvation? In verse 3 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, we read, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, that is the gospel. That's the history of the gospel. That's what God did to put our sins away by Jesus Christ. He put Christ to death. Christ died for our sins. You don't have to understand everything about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. You simply need to understand this, that Jesus Christ was a righteous man, the God-man, and that He bore the sins of the guilty. He was innocent, but He became guilty in the sight of God with the sins of God's people. And He bore those sins before the Lord, and the Lord punished Him for those sins. He bore our sins in His body on the tree, is the way the Apostle Peter put it. Now, this is God's way of salvation, putting the sins of His people on the Lord Jesus Christ and punishing those sins there. See, God is a just God. He cannot simply say, "Oh, I'm just going to let these sins go." They must be paid for. And He does that by laying those sins on Christ and punishing those sins in Christ. And then Christ was raised again on the third day. And what was the reason for that? It was proof that God accepted His sacrifice and that indeed all the sins that were laid on Him have been put away. Now, of the new covenant, God says, "Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." Why is that? Because they're gone. It says that there shall be a search made for Israel's sin and not be found. Why? Because they're gone. Now, that's how God saves people from Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Or that's how God saves people by Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? And then the third question, have you ever asked God to save you? You see, knowing all this doctrine means nothing if it does not prompt you to call upon the name of the Lord for His salvation. I fear that there are many who would say, "Yes, I am a sinner who deserves to go to hell." And they say that because they were taught to say it. And they say it because they realize, according to the Bible, it's true. And they would likewise say that they believe the gospel, that is, they believe that the work of Jesus Christ was a work of substitution, that the righteous one died in place of the unrighteous. They understand that. But they have never called upon the name of the Lord and asked Him for His salvation. They've just assumed they were saved because they're in church. Have you ever called upon the name of the Lord and found His salvation? If you never have, I pray that God will grant you grace to do so today. And if you are merely assuming that you are saved because you have been in the church since you were born into this world, may God shake you up. May He stir you up and cause you to call upon His name and beg for His mercy. The grace of the Lord be with you.